Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for all that you've done thus far. I thank you, Father God, that you're on the move and you're not going to stop, that you're doing a mighty works in each one of your people. I thank you, God, that you are in full, total, and complete control of this entire world and everything that's going on in it, including each one of our individual lives. And Father, I just thank you that tonight, that you are doing a new thing within us. You are taking out the old, bringing in the new. And Father God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about heaven. This is a prophetic word that I ran across. And it's called a heavenly invitation. Enter through the door of God's river of glory. Now, some of it's her prophetic word, but then I go on and I do the teaching after that. So she said, God is calling us to walk with him in great intimacy and power and to abide in the river of his Holy Spirit. A house filled with the river of God. In this dream, I was inside a room within a house. As I opened a door to enter another room, I was suddenly amidst a powerful flowing river. I felt the mighty waves lifting me up, and I began to soar higher and higher. The length, breadth, depth, and height of the river was immeasurable, but I could not touch the ceiling of the house. There was no limit as I kept soaring higher. Inside the waters, I heard the most beautiful sound of worship and praise all around me being offered up to God. This dream lasted all night till I woke up in the morning. There was no sense of time as the Lord caused me to soar in this eternal realm of his river. I feel the Lord would have me share the following revelations I received from this dream. Prophetically, God is on course to bring his church from a season of dryness and barrenness into a realm of supernatural fruitfulness. I sense the Lord is saying, you have stayed in your abode of dryness for too long. Enter through my open door into my ever-flowing river of fruitfulness, power, and glory. In the dream, the room I was initially in was dry until I opened the door. When I did, I was immediately transported into a supernatural room full of the river of God. I felt an excitement in my spirit. The Lord revealed to me that Jesus is this open door. And then in John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I sense the Lord's encouragement to stay connected to the person of Jesus. Now, we know all this. God's speaking to us about it, but I thought this was a good refresher. And as I sat at home and I, you know, see God's face about it, praise and worship, and finally start putting it together, I could literally get up and dance all through the house. But when I come in, and I could just see myself dancing here in the sanctuary. But when I come in here and the praise and worship starts, that anointing is not there to do that. So there's something wrong somewhere. There's an element missing. That we are not able, when we get into the house of God, that we are not able to worship him, just abandon ourselves and worship him the way that God wants us to. All right? I sense the Lord's encouragement to stay connected to the person of Jesus. As we stay connected in worship, listening and obedient to the word, we enter through him into a heavenly divine realm where his power, presence, and supernatural provision is richly made available to us. Many will experience miraculous testimonies even during their times of trial. Times of trial. Just because we're going through a trial does not mean that we won't have a testimony. There will be many suddenlies of upgrades, increase in anointings, breakthroughs, and supernatural provisions for those who stay focused and connected to the heart of Jesus. Let's read that again. There will be many suddenlies of upgrades, increase in anointings, breakthroughs, and supernatural provisions for those who stay focused and connected to the heart of Jesus. You have to stay focused to God in order to receive this. Jesus remains the eternal door through which heavenly resources will be released. I would like to share a recent testimony of a supernatural salvation that took place because I stay connected to the heart of Jesus. Recently, after I had finished ministering at a church in the UK and was on my way home in a cab, I started chatting with a cab driver. He told me how successful he was and how he seemingly had everything, including a loving family and financial security. Initially, when I preached the gospel to him, he seemed untouched, as he insisted he had everything he needed and didn't really need anything else. I then started to talk about Jesus' love for him and how the Lord yearned to have a relationship with him even deeper than what he had with his wife. As I spoke of Jesus' love for him, a suddenly moment occurred, and a sweet and powerful anointing of his love flooded the car. With tears brimming in his eyes, the driver ignored all calls coming in for his services as he became captivated by God's presence. See that? Because she stayed connected to the anointing. He said he had never felt such a presence before, and whenever the gospel had been preached to him in the past, it had always felt dry. He told me he wanted a relationship with Jesus, and right then and there, he prayed for the Lord to forgive his sins and for Jesus to come into his heart, and be his Lord and Savior. Right there in a taxi cab, not in a church. The love of Jesus I spoke of was that same door to God's heavenly glorious river, and it released such an anointing that it moved the cab driver to receive salvation. That's what God wants to happen to each one of us as we get the river flowing totally and completely unhindered, so that when no matter where we go, we are connected to the Father, to Jesus, and the river can flow out of us and engulf all those around about us. I was watching something on TV, the news, and they were interviewing this pastor about the flood in the hurricane in Florida. And he said, how are you handling all these people that are coming to you asking questions? And I watched that pastor as he could not really answer that question, but he skirted around it. And I was thinking, that's what God's been telling us, that we're going to have a flood of souls come in here that are lost and confused and hurting, and are we able to minister to those souls? If you don't have the river flowing through you, you're not going to be able to minister to those souls. And you're definitely not going to be able to minister to them where it'll be with this cab driver, where that river will flow onto him and cause him to receive salvation. You see what God's trying to get our attention about? And I sat there and wondered too, okay, so all these things are happening there in Florida, and how many pastors are really ready to go and with the anointing of the river and really minister to these people to bring them true peace? Because after all, they've lost everything. They have nothing to look forward to except repairs, rebuilding, refocusing, because they've lost everything. Somebody's going to have enough anointing in them to reassure them that they can rebuild and that everything is going to be okay, that God saw all this and he sees what's going on in their lives and he already has it worked out. But it's going to have to be with an anointing that they can receive it. You can tell anybody that, but if there's no anointing in your words, they're not going to be able to receive what you're saying. They're going to say, but you're not in my boat, is what they're going to say. You're not walking in my shoes. And see, this is what I know that God has done this with me over the years. He's had me not literally take me there, but had me walk in those people's shoes and feel the pain they felt the hopelessness and feel the hopelessness so I could minister to them. I wasn't going through what they were going through, but he allowed me to feel what they were going through. And then he used me to minister to them, and it had an effect. Are you understanding this? You don't have to have a hurricane hit you. You don't have to lose everything you have in order to be able to minister to somebody else who is in that same boat. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 47, immersed in his presence. The church is in a kairos moment where we are being called to be immersed in the Ezekiel River. When I woke up from the dream, the Lord breathed into my heart the words Ezekiel 47. As I opened my Bible and started to read from Ezekiel 47, I realized that I had just been immersed all night in a supernatural realm within the river that I was reading about. When I read the first verse about the water flowing from underneath a temple, my heart was filled with excitement as if I was seeing it for the first time. The man in Ezekiel 47:1 says, this is what it says, the man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. As I laid on the bed, feeling totally intoxicated with the Spirit of God, such was a memory of the vividness of the dream, that I wondered if there was really a building in heaven similar to the temple described in Ezekiel chapter 4, where the rivers of God were flowing underneath the temple. God's rivers are always flowing, but are we always flowing in the river? And this, I'm just telling you what God's saying. He said, my rivers never stop flowing, never. And anyone can participate in the flowing of the river at their will. I never stop anybody from entering into the flow of the river. People stop their own self. All right? Then I heard clearly in my spirit that there is a need to be immersed in the Spirit of God for the assignment that is ahead. See why God wants us in that river? For the assignment that is ahead. God is calling his church into his chamber, where they will be immersed in total intimacy with his character, his glory, and power. God is calling his church into his chamber, where they will be immersed in total intimacy with his character, his glory, and power. Assignments from heaven must be immersed in God's presence. I believe there were layers of interpretations to this dream. We must be immersed in him, yet he is in us. What a wonderful reminder and encouragement. We are God's habitation. We are his temple. I believe the temple spoken of in Ezekiel 47 has become our reality. Through relationship with Jesus, we have become his temple. I hope it's become a reality. 1 Corinthians 3:16 declares that we are God's temple and his spirit dwells within us. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? The river flowing in Ezekiel's temple speaks of his spirit moving in us today. The river flowing in Ezekiel's temple speaks of his spirit moving in us today. A powerful revival will take place when the river within each person flows unhindered. You yourself could be a walking revival. You don't have to have anybody else being where you're at. You yourself can be a walking revival. In other words, everywhere you go, that river inside of you just flows out and touches everybody that you come in contact with. Well, I need to have 6 people with me. No, you don't. You have the Holy Spirit, right? You have God, you have Jesus, you have the angelic host. You could be that river. What if you were stranded somewhere and all these people were around about you and they were crying and screaming? Are you going to cry and scream too? Or are you going to be that river that brings them peace? Think about this. I see rivers flowing from God's temple of believers to overflow. See, that's what I just said. Overflow into communities and nations. Church, you are called to soar. A life in the Spirit will cause us to soar beyond earthly and demonic limitations. I believe the Spirit of God is saying that each believer will be divinely positioned to soar into victory and authority, and as they surrender to his movement, it will cause the powerful ripples and waves of his Spirit to lift us higher. A life in the Spirit, not religion, will cause us to soar beyond earthly and demonic limitations. I believe the Spirit of God is saying that each believer will be divinely positioned to soar into victory and authority. And as they surrender to His movement, see, we have to surrender, it will cause the powerful ripples and waves of His Spirit to lift us higher. As I soared in this river all night till morning, there were no boundaries at all in this heavenly realm. God's presence will always beckon us to come up higher. She said, as I soared in this river all night till morning, there were no boundaries at all. When you're truly walking with the flowing of the river in you, there are no boundaries. And you know, you wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is just pouring Himself out of you, and you're seeing all kind of miracles happen. God says, is saying, and you have all kind of visitations that you don't even know that you're having, because He comes and He strengthens you, and He causes the river to flow even greater out of you as you minister to the people. An invitation to drink the new wine of God. The first move of the new wine of God's Spirit was released on the day of Pentecost. It was released as the promised Holy Spirit descended on hungry believers who were praying earnestly in expectation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The gathered audience wondered aloud at the manifestation. When they saw the disciples speaking in strange tongues, they asked if they were drunk. Now, I've already read all her stuff, all right? Are people looking at you and asking you what is different about you? That you really have to ask yourself this question. Wherever you go, are you making a difference in the atmosphere? If you walk into a dark room, does light start emanating from you and break up the darkness? Do people look at you in a strange way and wonder what it is about that person that draws me to them? They're drawn to your light. Or do they look at you and say, you're no different than anybody else I run in contact with? And I'm hearing God say, your actions speak louder than your words. And sometimes your words overpower the Holy Spirit anointing. Peter explained that they were under the influence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied about in the book of Joel. It was not physical wine that they were under the influence of, but a spiritual wine, which we are also invited to drink. After the dream, I woke up feeling drunk. Oh, no, I guess this is still her. After the dream, I woke up feeling drunk in the spirit and remembered the scripture in Ephesians 5:18, exhorting us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. There is a holy invitation today, just as on the day of Pentecost, to drink of the new wine of the Spirit of God. And when I was typing that, I thought about that song we used to drink, 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 you know. I couldn't find it. There are a way to sing it tonight. I hear the eternal cry of Jesus in Isaiah 55:1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Francis, it's an encouraging word to stay connected to the heart of Jesus. Be wary of the enemy's tactics to bring trials that will cause you to disconnect from His presence. And I know for a fact that's going on in the body of Christ right now. As we stay connected to Him, we will experience Jesus as the door that will cause us to step into the era of fruitfulness that heaven wants to release to the church. God is the God of breakthrough, and God is calling us to break through. All right, this is where I started. So I said, let's read that again. Friends, this is an encouraging word to stay connected to the heart of Jesus. Be wary of the enemy's tactics to bring trials that will cause you to disconnect from His presence. As we stay connected to Him, we will experience Jesus as the door that will cause us to step into the era of fruitfulness that heaven wants to release to the church. You know, I know there's a lot of discouragement in the body of Christ right now. I know Satan has thrown everything that he has in his book at you. But God has been encouraging us all along to stay connected to Jesus and understand that he is in our circumstances. Last night I said, well, they can't fix my car. They can't find out what's wrong. So I'm going to go and look for a new car. And if God doesn't want me to have it, he will close the doors because of my age. Nothing else would affect me but that. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know what God's, he's not saying nothing. So I'm going to step out there and do what I have to do because I don't want to ride a bicycle to church. Amen. I can't put one on the handlebar and one in the back. Two kids and I won't put a bicycle. I'm not discouraged because of the fact they can't fix my car. I'm not discouraged because it's just because I had oil changed. They messed something up and now it won't run. I'm not discouraged about that. I've been encouraged and God said I'm going to have a new car. So I might be the one that has to step out there and just go apply for this new car. And if he wants me to have it that way, then that's the way I'll have it. And if he wants to down the road pay it off, that's fine with me too. But I'm not discouraged. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I know I have to do. Make a way in the wilderness where there is no way. But see, a lot of people don't do that. They sit down and they grumble and they moan and they groan and complain, you know, and they can't get anything done because they never look at the positive side of anything. Never. It's always negative. All right, God is a God of breakthrough, and God is calling us to break through. We learned that there is a spiritual battle going on over our breakthrough. Do you have that in your little pea brain yet, that there is a battle? We just studied that, right? There's a battle going on. Breakthrough can be defined as a moment in time when the impossible becomes possible. I could walk into that dealership, and they could say, here, this car is yours. That's not a far-fetched thing. That's not an impossibility. But I know one thing, God's always been in control, and I know he doesn't want me in the position I'm in. If anyone wants to thrive in any area of their life, they have to reach a point of breakthrough where they will not settle for anything less than extraordinary. As long as I'm going to be settled for an old, you know, beat-up car that has no paint on it or taxi service, whenever the taxi decides that I can have a half hour of the car, then you know, that's my fault, not God's, right? He wants me to live in the extraordinary. He wants me to live in the breakthrough. You guys really have to think about this for your own self. What is it that the devil has you bound up in? Have you taken it to the courtroom? Have you done everything you know to do? Well, then the ball's in God's court. Every night, Gabriel gets on the computer behind me and he looks at jokes. And just about every time he does, he said, listen to this. He said, now I forgot the joke. I'll think about it and tell you, but it just, you know, puts me in mind of, the guy prays, God, let me win the lottery. God, let me win the lottery. God, let me win the lottery. And God speaks now. He says, Gabriel, go buy a ticket. But every night he reads me that thing. So I said, God, are you trying to tell me something? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he is or not. I said, Gabriel, you read that to me every time you get on. Or why do you keep reading that to me? It could be God. That could be God. You know, I don't have God in a box. I don't have him under the computer either. I lost my place now. All right, the dictionary definition of the word breakthrough is an offensive thrust that penetrates and carries beyond a defensive line in warfare, and the act or instance of breaking through an obstacle. Breakthrough itself is sudden, rapid, and often unexpected. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already commanded and already promised. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already commanded and already promised. Breakthrough happens when we take the first offensive step against the barriers in our life. Breakthrough happens when we say, I am going to trust that God is going to supernaturally do the impossible. 2 Samuel 5:20 says, So David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. He said, "The Lord broke through." I didn't. The Lord broke through. We need to make sure that God is our God of breakthrough, that he is breaking through the circumstances in our life and bringing us the things that we have need of and that he promised us. The breakthrough of water is like a crack in a dam that continues to grow wider and wider. If you just get a little trickle of water running, you know, that little dam coming up out of there, after a bit it's going to bust and just come bubbling out. You know, when God started talking to me about the water, you know, and then I got to thinking about how he used to always have me just, you know, lay my hands in their bellies and command that dam to be broken and command the living waters to come bubbling up. And, you know, said to people, they'd always go out in the spirit because the dam was finally broke where they could receive what God was trying to do for them. But see, in order for me to be able to do that, I had to have the water running through me also. You know, that living water running through me. Now, if you're going to lay your hands on somebody, make sure you have whatever you need inside of you, the power and authority to see that thing come to fruition. 2 Chronicles, a troop and a wall. The next illustration of breakthrough is from 2 Samuel 22:30. 2 Samuel 22:30 says, "For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall." We need to always remember that God is the God of the breakthrough. 2 Chronicles 20:17 tells us, "And he said, Listen, all you of Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." I haven't gone out to look for a car until now. All right. "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." You know, he says, the Lord's with them. "Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." We have to understand everything we go through, God is with us. Everything. Did you ever try to get that through a pea brain? You minister to somebody, minister to them, and they don't get nothing you're saying. You know, you think, God, you know, is there a vacuum in there? Or, you know, there's just this floating around in there. But they need a breakthrough is what they need. They need God to penetrate their mind and their heart and their spirit and set them free so they can receive what we're saying to them. All right. Every night for a week, God gave me this verse. I'd wake up, here was this verse. Isaiah 52:1. Wake up, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength, holy city of Jerusalem. Stand up and put on your beautiful clothes. Those filthy foreigners will not enter you again. Jerusalem, get up and shake off the dust. Daughter Zion, you were a prisoner, but take the chains off your neck. I'm not a prisoner to anything because God is the God of breakthrough. He's come through and he's broken the way before me so I can walk in perfect peace. And that the enemy can no longer keep me bound. Are you listening here? Every night, and I know he was trying to tell me something. Every night here, I get awake. Here I was with this scripture, repeating it over and over again. God's telling me to get my head out of the sand and move on. Do something. Don't just sit there. I'm talking about everything in my life. You know, everything in the church. You know, I know that we're doing a lot of things right now in the church, and I know I have you guys running around, you know, doing extra stuff, but this is where God has us, and he told us to get our lives in order because we were going to be so busy we wouldn't know which way to turn. And sometimes I don't know which way to turn. How about you? Spiritual maturity is so, but he warned us, he forewarned us, so we can't complain, can we? Spiritual maturity is developed as we learn how to persevere and persist. Anchored on God's word, even our natural circumstances show absolutely no signs of improvement. You become the greatest catalyst of breakthrough when you learn how to hear what God is saying and pray these eternal realities over the present conditions. Obedience. It is key. Obedience is key. Jericho and the walls coming down required obedience. I had to share my little thing I did. I went shopping the other day and I love Macintosh apples. So I got this big bag of Macintosh apples. I put in my little basket in my study, you know, and this morning I picked up an apple. After all, Daniel ate fruit, right? So I sat down at my study and God said, I wouldn't eat that apple if I was you. I said, oh, he said, put it back. So I put it back, and all day I looked over that basket of apples, but I was not tempted. But see, he's calling me to obedience. You see this? Don't eat that apple. I don't care what Daniel did. You don't eat the apple. There we go. At first it was a peanut. Now it's an apple, right? All right. Decree. We have to start decreeing the things over our life. Job 22:28. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. I have a new car, brand new 2018 car sitting in my driveway. I tell everybody that and they say, I don't see it. They will, because God will provide. Are you in need of a breakthrough? A prophetic decree is an authoritative now word that unlocks the supernatural and causes a shift to take place. When we decree something, we are making a declaration that has the weight of kingdom authority behind it. Let's read that again. And don't tell me you're not in need of a breakthrough, because I don't believe you. You'll fall out of your seat. You might even die if you lie to the Holy Spirit. Are you in need of a breakthrough? A prophetic decree is an authoritative now word that unlocks the supernatural and causes a shift to take place. When we decree something, we are making a declaration that has the weight of kingdom authority behind it. Shout. Praise is faith expressing itself audibly. Faith has a voice. I love the fact that it was you, Aaron, shouting, right? Telling the devil to run. See, that was his faith. Devil, you are going to get out of our lives. We're not going to tolerate you no more. And the more he shouted, the more my spirit jumped over the place. I was wishing somebody else would shout too, but you were loud enough. You were good. He had that authoritative voice, and he was letting the devil know, you're finished in us. Amen. And see, sometimes when you're singing a song, and it should really get down in your spirit. When it gets down in your spirit, you need to shout, yeah, you know, let the devil know, hey, or God or the angel, somebody know this. I know when I'm singing and I know it's a fact, and I'm going to decree it's a fact. I'm going to shout it to the world. Shout. Praise is faith expressing itself audibly. Faith has a voice. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were, and those things that be as though they were not. Faith hears God say, it is done, sees God make it so, and shouts because it believes it is done. Let's read that again. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Faith hears God say, it is done, sees God make it so, and shouts because it believes it is done. Look what Paul and Silas accomplished through prayer and praise in Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Who were they singing them to? Not to the prisoners, not to themselves, but to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Why don't we start praying and praising and seeing these chains being broken off of us, off of our circumstances, off of our homes, off of our kids? Amen. Change your perspective. This requires seeing the invisible. All right, this requires seeing the invisible. Faith is about things we do not see. There are many ways of seeing or looking at something, but what matters is how God sees things. Sometimes we need to change our approach to the battle. You've been doing the same battle over and over and over and over again, and not for 21 days, but 21 years. It's time to, you know, change course a little bit, isn't it? You know, and every time I think about faith and praying for things, I think about Kenneth Copeland's two small little kids that didn't know tiddly about tiddly, prayed and each got the boat they wanted. Here we big old grown-ups, we're praying we don't even get a tire to the car. See, these kids, just their dads, if you wanted, you had to have faith and believe for it. So they had faith, they believed for it. And when he didn't want, there were two boats, so they were great big boats you put on the river, you know. But them kids were happy. Maybe we should put on our diapers and get our baby bottles and go pray. And pray like a little baby. Don't do that. Our God is the God of the breakthrough. Tonight, God wants you to break through and receive that river of living waters that totally consumes every fiber of your being, and you will be drowned in that river. Remember the time I told you God said he was going to put me in the river and stand on my neck until I was drowned? Then he's going to let me up. I don't know if he's done enough, but I still say, God, if I'm not totally drowned, drown me. You know, let's get this thing over with. Amen. I want to see this revival. I want to see the manifestation of everything you promised us. And the other night he was talking about us doing the greater works. That really got me excited. So I just want to be drowned. I don't care. I've already drowned 3 times in the natural. I might as well drown in the spiritual now, right? Isaiah 55:1. All you people who are thirsty, come. Here is water for you to drink. Don't worry if you have no money. Come eat and drink until you are full. You don't need money. The milk and wine are free. Everything God gives us is absolutely free. Ezekiel 47:1. The man led me back to the entrance of the temple. Now read this really good. I saw water coming out from under the east gate of the temple. The front of the temple is on the east side. The water flowed down from under the south end of the temple and ran south of the altar. The man led me out through the north gate and then around the outside of the outer gate on the east side. The water was flowing out on the south side of the gate. The man walked east with a tape measure in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubits. Then he told me to walk through the water at that place. The water was only ankle deep. He measured another 1,000 cubits. Then he told me to walk through the water at that place. There the water came up to my knees. That's what I saw in here was water that goes up to your knees, all right, the other day. Then he measured another 1,000 cubits and told me to walk through the water at that place. There the water was waist deep. He measured another 1,000 cubits, but there the water was too deep to cross. It had become a river. The water was deep enough to swim in. It was a river that was too deep to cross. That's where God wants us tonight. He wants us in those deep waters that we can't cross. We can swim in, but we can't cross because it's too deep. When we started, we read that the church is in a Kairos moment where we are being called to be immersed in Ezekiel River. And this is what God is wanting his children to do. He wants us so sold out to him that all these dumb things that you worry night and day about, they don't amount to nothing. Oh, I'm starving. Well, you know, oh, people over in Africa are starving too. I'm not being ignorant, but what I'm saying is, come on. Is food your God that you can't go without food for a while? Well, I tell you what you can do. You go to the homeless places and they'll feed you if you think you need food. Maybe it's in God's heart enough for you not to eat for a while. Maybe he wants you to cry out to him even harder than what you have been crying. I don't know why. Is somebody not eating in here? If you're not eating, let us know. We'll give you a dinner somewhere. But what I'm saying is, God has you in the situation he has you in for a purpose. All right? I've learned to become a really submissive servant with no car. When you rely on somebody else to maybe give you a few minutes here and there to take you someplace, you got to go. I told my daughter, I said, if you want that money I owe you, I got my income tax. I said, it's in my savings account. If you'll take me to the bank Saturday morning, I'll draw it out and give it to you. I said, but that's what you're going to have to do if you want it. She said, aren't you upset? I said, no, I'm not upset. What's upset going to get me? Absolutely nothing, right? Except more gray hair. You know, come on. You know, the river is so much better than all the fretting and worrying that we do. And, you know, really and truly, we aren't really in absolute faith. or we would see some signs, wonders, and miracles like we've never seen before. We claim we're in faith, but we're really not. There is some little bit of doubt, you know, roaming around in there, and that's that. When if you have just an ounce of doubt, you've just killed your faith altogether. Now, some people will say right now when they heard that, well, then I'm not going to have faith at all. So you just don't really want to have faith. And that's why you just said that. Right now, because I know I'm going through this, right now what God has promised me looks like it's a far-off thing. And it's never going to happen. And I'm not talking about no automobile. I'm just talking about other circumstances. But see, this is what the enemy has done. He's made us look like it's never, ever going to happen. Because he wants us to get out of faith. And this is about my children. I said, devil, I don't care what you're trying to make my eyes look at. I know what God gave me a vision of. And that's all of my kids with one Bible in one hand, the other hand in the air, praising God and sitting in the house of God. And that's the only vision I see. I don't see anything else you're placing around about me. I only see that vision. And that's what I'm standing on. I don't care what people call me. They can call me anything they want to. But I know what God showed me. And God hasn't told me that vision is not going to come to pass. And so this is what I'm standing on. All right? This is why God is healing me. See, I'm not into bitterness. I'm not into doubt and unbelief. I'm just believing God. And I know he is my source. And I know I flow in a river. And I hope I've drowned. If not, he can do that too. But the altar's open if you want to be drowned in that Ezekiel River. The river that you cannot cross. You know how you can go swimming, just swim in a little area, right? But you can't go way out there because it's too deep. I remember one time when I was about 10 years old, we were swimming at a dam. You know how dams are, they're dangerous. And this one girl got mad at me, so she grabbed me by the leg and dragged me out to the middle of the dam and let me go. And I was petrified, and I went down 3 times. And when they got me, I was already drowned. I was dead, and some man ran up there, and he revived me. But I think I drowned in that river that day, the river of God. I really do. And I drowned 2 times after that, too, but I think that I've been under the water enough. And I just encourage you all, come on. You know, you can drown that river tonight and still live. Because it's a river of living waters. It's not dead waters. Amen. And God's saying, what is it you have need of tonight as you're laying in the river? Because of rivers, you're laying in it. Whatever you have need of, God's going to supply. God is going to supply.